Let's open our Bibles tonight to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Some of you who were here last Sunday evening will remember in looking at chapter 2 that Solomon made an examination. He made an examination, especially of the things that are done under the sun, things that men call pleasures. His conclusion was, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Remember, this is a sermon, the book of Ecclesiastes. It is a sermon, a written sermon. And Solomon is the preacher. And I would just remind us tonight that he is the one to whom God gave great wisdom because he asked the Lord for it. And yet, even the Lord giving him wisdom did not mean that he did not need to study. He did not need to apply himself and search out things, and he did. And that's what we read many times in this book of Ecclesiastes, the things of this world, the sciences of this world. You know, theology is the science of God, the knowledge of God. And it's the only science that looks back. It looks back. Every other science looks forward in the sense that things are being discovered, things are being learned as days go by. But theology looks back, and it goes back even before the foundation of the world and to eternity, and reveals to us things about God, the study of God. That's what theology actually means, the study of God. And Solomon was given wisdom, but yet he had to apply himself and study into things and seek into things as he did. And he made a survey or a study of what men call pleasures. We looked at that last time, those things under the sun that men call pleasures. And his conclusion was, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I would again remind us of Robert Hawker's comments. He said upon this book, surely the preacher, that is Solomon, he's the preacher, surely he intended by this way of preaching in showing negatively what human pleasure and human learning are not to proclaim. He showed this negatively. What human pleasure and human learning are not, to proclaim most loudly what Christ and His graces are. Now listen, for all short of Christ is vanity, and Christ Himself is the chief, the only, the substantial good. As our Lord said, what should it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Christ, He is Himself the chief, the only, the substantial good. Now tonight, in chapter 3, I want us to look at the first 15 verses. And I'm dividing these verses into two divisions. First, a fact clearly seen concerning things done under the sun. That's the first thing I want us to see in these first 10 verses. A fact clearly seen concerning things done under the sun. And I counted this phrase, under the sun, is found 27 times in Solomon's sermon. What is the fact that is clearly seen concerning things under the sun? Well, let's read these first 10 verses. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. A fact clearly seen concerning the things done under the sun. What is this fact? What is this fact that is clearly seen and is brought out to us in these 10 verses? The fact is change. Change is written on everything that we see and everything that we experience in this world. That's a fact. That's clearly seen. Change is written on everything that we see and experience in this world. Matthew Henry pointed out that there are 28 things, as you read through that verse, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time. There are 28 things that are mentioned here. Matthew Henry said, and I quote, "According to the days of the moon's revolution, which is always increasing or decreasing, between its full and change, the moon, it's always either increasing or decreasing." And so we see change. And that's what we see. It's a fact that all of us are able to see, that all men are able to see. It's written on everything in this world. Day turns to night. Summer turns to winter. There's a time to be born and a time to die. And those times are fixed. Those times in which we are born. God has that marked on His calendar, the time of our birth and also the time of our death. Remember the Word of God says there's an appointed day. It is appointed unto men once to die. And that's an appointment that all of us are going to keep. And we're not going to be late for that appointment. There's an appointed time. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. And one old writer said, there's no mention here of a time to live. A time to be born, a time to die, but it doesn't mention a time to live. And his comment was, that our life here, our lifespan here, is so brief that it's not even worth mentioning. And that goes along with what the Apostle James tells us in the New Testament. He says that our life is even a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Change. The hymn writer said, change and decay upon all that I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. At the present time, you and I, at this present time, we're living in the springtime of the year. It's a time when men are planting their gardens, planting flowers. It's a time that I especially love. I love those verses in the Song of Songs, which incidentally Solomon also wrote in chapter 2, which go, "For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green fig, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. It is springtime. It is planting time. But we know that summertime will come, and it will be, as Solomon tells us, a time to pluck up. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to pull up. There's a time, he tells us, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. When you think in your life tonight, back over your life, think of how many days, how many times have you cried? Have you mourned? Has it been a time of sorrow? But then also remember how many times, as you look back over your life, has it been a time of laughing, a time of dancing, a time of rejoicing? Change. That's what this world is made up of. Change. That's a fact that is clearly seen by everyone. He says there's a time to get. And I think this is especially when we're young and strong, is a time to get knowledge. When you have that opportunity to get knowledge, there's a time to get wealth. There's a time to provide for your family. But there comes a time when it will be a time to cast away, to spend that which you have accumulated. And if you look in verse 7, and I especially look at this verse, at the last part, he said, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Don't we all pray? I know I do. Don't we all pray that God would help us to learn this? That there's a time to keep silence. We don't always have to give our opinion. We don't always have to speak. Sometimes it would be good if we just sat in silence and meditate and think upon our ways and think upon the things of God. You know, I've noticed this about some people. They always have to be entertained. There has to be music on the radio. There has to be something on the television. They have to be going. They have to be doing something always. They're not able just to be still, as the scripture says, and know that I am God. But obviously what Solomon wrote here, a time to keep silence, but there's also a time to speak, isn't it? There's a time to speak up when the Lord Jesus Christ, when he is being blasphemed or his truth is being maligned. There's a time. There's a time to speak and let others know that we are his servants. I thought about that hymn we sometimes sing, Am I a soldier of the cross? And fear to speak his name. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through stormy seas? There's a time to speak, to stand up, to be counted, be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ and with his gospel. Now, Solomon saw the travail. If you notice in that last verse, verse 10, he said, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Solomon saw the travail exercised by men, you and I, and we all recognize this. We live in a world of constant change. We want to get our nest just fixed up there, you know, like the birds fix up their nest. We want to get our nest fixed up, our families established, and our houses and our homes and our jobs and we don't want anything to change. But it does. And it causes men to travail, causes men sorrow, because change is all around us. When and if we ever think we have everything just right now, it won't last long. Enjoy it, because it will change. Things will change. So that's a fact. That's a fact. Change. It's easily seen by everyone who opens their eyes. This world is nothing but change. We serve an immutable God, but we live in a mutable world. The second fact, that first fact is clearly seen, but now listen, hear me now. Let's read verses 11 through 15. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor, it is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Here's a fact. Now listen. Clearly seen only. Here's a fact. That first fact is clearly seen by everyone. But now here is a fact that is clearly seen only with the eye of faith. That things which are done under the earth are beautiful. Did you hear what I said? It's only by the eye of faith that we see that everything done under the sun, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. And I must remind us that you and I, as God's children, those of us who know him tonight, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. Here's a fact that is only seen with the eye of faith, that everything done under the sun is beautiful in his time. Solomon says, notice this in verse 11. He said, he hath made everything beautiful in his time, but also, he said, also he has set the world in their heart, that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We all live in a very short time span, and none of us were here, none of us saw the beginning, and we sure haven't seen the end. I would try to illustrate this if I could. Suppose a friend comes to our house and tells us he's so excited, he's just overwhelmed with excitement because he's building the most beautiful house. The most beautiful house that you can imagine. And he just can't stop from speaking about it, talking about it. And after he leaves, we decide, well, let's go see this house. This beautiful house this man is building. And so we arrive on the building site and is this the right place? Is this the right place? He's been telling us about his beautiful house that he's building. And here we see a foundation and maybe two or three studs put up on one side. This is beautiful. Now, we haven't seen the architect's drawing. And we haven't seen the finished product. Are we qualified? Are we qualified just looking at the building as it is being built and saying, it's not beautiful? It's not a beautiful house. Oh, but he says it is. He's seen the drawing. And the Lord willing, he will see the end. Now, that's God. God has seen the beginning, and he's seen the end. Known unto him are all his works from the beginning of the world. We're looking in time at just a short picture of what God is doing. And we might think, well, how could this be beautiful? He's doing this in my life, and I'm suffering, or I'm going through these trials and these problems that I'm dealing with. How could this be beautiful? You're only seeing one side. You're only seeing your side. The same thing would be true if you look at a canvas. An artist is painting a beautiful picture, but all he's done so far is just sketch out what he's going to paint. He hasn't put any paint on the canvas as of yet. Are we qualified in just looking at that canvas and saying, that's not a work of art, that's not beautiful? But we'll wait till it's finished and then see it. You know, to illustrate this, that illustration that I've used before and others have used, it's still one of the best. Years ago, when rugs were made, not like they are today. You know, rugs today, you can buy a rug and the side that's going to be seen is beautiful, and the backside of it doesn't look too bad. But years ago, when rugs were being sold in shops that made them, the looms, as they were working, as the rugs were being sold, the backside just looked like a bunch of scrambled thread, knots and pieces of thread and different colors. There was no pattern that you could see. And that lady visited one of these plants one time, and she commented upon the rug not being beautiful, and the man said, oh, come around and look at it from this side. And so she came around and looked at it from the side that was going to be seen, and everything was beautiful. It was a beautiful rug. I want to give an example tonight, and I pray the Lord will bless it. Do you remember just over 2 years ago, the Lord took Cody Groover? And I don't know how many preachers, how many pastors have told me, some at that very time and some after that, they've said something like this. Of all the preachers, in our loosely associated Sovereign Grace group, he was the one that, as far as I can tell, we could least afford to lose. And I agree with that. He was the one we could least, looking at it from our viewpoint, the work that he was doing, how God was using him. But this just reminds us again that God's ways are not our ways. And God's thoughts are not our thoughts. We look through a glass darkly. All of us do. And I think of our Lord's words to Peter that night when he was washing their feet. And Peter said, you'll never do that, Lord. You'll never do that. Not to me. And the Lord said these words to him, what I do, thou knowest not now. What I do, thou knowest not now. But thou shalt know hereafter. And as I said, we walk by faith and not by sight. And this truth, though it is hard for us to see, maybe impossible for us to see. But everything is beautiful in His time. Even these things that hurt us and cause us sorrow, things that we do not understand, when we, you and I, when we are in eternity and the mystery of God is completed, then and only then will we see just how beautiful all of God's work is. How beautiful it all is. In the meantime, we must comfort our hearts with this truth. This truth that's found in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. He, that is God, is our rock, and His work is perfect. His work is perfect. I appreciate Matthew Henry's comments on verse 14. The scriptures, Solomon said, I know, and Matthew Henry commented, everyone knows it that knows anything of God. What Solomon says here, that he knew, Matthew Henry said, everyone knows it that knows anything of God. What is it? That whatsoever God does, it shall be forever. His measures are never broken, nor is He ever put upon new counsels, but what He has purposed shall be effected. And all the world cannot defeat nor disannul God's purpose. And it behooves all of us, as Matthew Henry said, to say, let it be as God wills. I remember when Eli, the prophet Eli, when he received word that his two sons had been killed, he said, it is the Lord. Let Him do what He will. When God killed Aaron's two sons, the first day they raised that tabernacle up and worshiped God, God killed two of His sons, His two oldest sons. You say, would God do that? He did that. He did that. Why did He do that? Because they offered strange fire before the Lord. He said, what could be strange about fire? The fire that they were to use in the burning of incense was to come from the altar upon which the sacrifice had been burned. And these two sons, they took some fire from somewhere else and went into the tabernacle, and God killed them. And Aaron, the scripture says, held his peace. God's mysterious works of providence are to benefit us. They are. When we see these things, and they are mysterious to us, but they are to benefit us, as Solomon said, that men may fear before Him. Notice that verse again, verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it. Notice that men should fear before Him. We observe God's mysterious providence, and we should learn. We should learn to reverence God. We should learn to recognize that God is sovereign, that this world is His world, and that we are His creatures, and He has the absolute right to do what He will with His own. God doeth it that men should fear, reverence Him. We should acknowledge Him in our ways, in all of our ways. The proverb says, acknowledge Him in all thy ways. And we should be very careful about offending God, about speaking against His providence. When we see that we are in a world of change, let us recognize that this is as it has always been. Notice that last verse. That which hath been is now. And I'm sure that some of you, maybe like myself, were guilty sometimes of saying, well, it's never been this bad before. Oh, yes, it has. It has. If you'd lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, that which has been is now. And that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. When we see that we are in this world of change, we recognize this as it has always been and shall be until He comes and His angel says, time! Just like the referee or the coaches in the basketball game, they call for time. So God's angel one day is going to call for time to be no more. But until then, things that are as they have been and as they shall be. We know, we love, and we serve God who is immutable. But once again, let me say, we live in His world, and this world is one of mutability, of change. But one day, my friends, when we are there with Him, we will know hereafter, and we will see that nothing could have been better. Nothing in God's providence, nothing in God's plan could have been arranged better than it has been and worked out as it has. I pray that the Lord would bless these thoughts to all of us here tonight.